Hi, I'm Don Genova, and you're listening to a podcast recorded in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, called All You Can Eat. Asians around the world are in the midst of celebrating the Lunar New Year, and Vancouver is no exception. There are feasts and dragon dances and fireworks and more feasts. Like most holidays, food plays a major role in Chinese New Year. As the New Year approached, I welcomed Chef Suser Lee to Vancouver. Suser Lee is one of Toronto's best-known celebrity chefs. He grew up in Hong Kong, but opened his very first restaurant in Toronto. Called Lotus, it drew much critical acclaim. But Suser Lee closed Lotus and departed for Singapore for a few years to consult and work on restaurants for a major hotel chain. When he came back to Toronto a few years ago, he opened another restaurant, Suser, and a couple of years ago, a little Suser next door called Lee. Last year, he published his first cookbook called Suser, A Culinary Life. It's a unique cookbook, a double spine separating the first half of the book, which is a biography of Suser's life so far, and the second half, a collection of recipes. This is not a cookbook for beginners. Even advanced cooks may shudder at the list of ingredients for each recipe and techniques and preparations that take hours, if not days. Still, if you want to find out why his blend of Asian ingredients and European technique has worked, this is the book to get. I invited Suser to join me for a walk in Vancouver's Chinatown, as it's always a great way to stimulate a conversation. Here is our stroll. So I'm walking on East Pender Street with Suser Lee, who's visiting us from Toronto. We're just heading into probably the busier part of the grocery section of Chinatown. Maybe before we get there, you can tell me a bit about your book and what you had in mind when you created it.
Well, many times, wanted to do a cookbook for so long. Never find time, never find a place. And I decided one day when I start opening the second restaurant, I like to work with pressure. From there, I just want to get everything done and documented with my work. So open the second restaurant, Lee, right away start shooting with new recipes, old recipes, and create a little studio upstairs in my restaurant. Cooking in my kitchen, bring the food upstairs, shot it, and document it, and write down recipes and testing it, and there you go. By the end, I get a cookbook very fast, actually. This is date, huh? Fresh date.
Fresh date?
Yeah. Normally, what they do is they dry it and they turn red. This is one of the things the Chinese believe is very good for your blood. So red dates, remember.
Is it rare to see these fresh dates like this?
Yeah, I haven't seen red dates for a long time. I think red dates are very Chinese New Year, like winter, because normally people made stew meat with herb, so keep your body warm. So it's one of those herbal fruits, you know.
Now, do you know what these round kind of tan?
This is sort of like a little grapefruit from Thailand. It's crossed between a lychee, a rambutan and a grapefruit. Actually, it tastes amazing. And also, this. When I grew up, I used to taken by my sister husband to a farm to pick this, what they call chicken shit fruit. Because it's inside, it looks like chicken poo.
But it's a guava.
It's a guava, yes. It's amazing. Smell this. It's like between a passion fruit and durian.
Now, the durian is something. Do you cook anything with durian in it?
Oh, I love durian. Yeah. It's one of my favorite because I often bring it buy it from Chinatown, from Thailand. Those ship it from Thailand. My staff, I often offer my staff, and they would say, no, thanks, chef, and they walked away.
It has that aroma to it.
Yeah, and I said, great, you're not eating it. So I closed my office. I was just picking down with durian. Because you see, in Southeast Asia, especially in Singapore, durian, you're not allowed in a public place, like in taxis. You cannot transport it in a subway. You cannot, you know, you have to go to a very specific place. Especially the wild durian from Malaysia, they actually have people have guards around the trees, making sure nobody steals them.
I guess your sons have grown up with a wide variety of flavors, haven't they?
Oh, very much. I have three sons. My oldest sons love Chinese food. My middle son love the oldest son loves Japanese food. The middle son likes Chinese food. And my youngest son loves Korean food. So I feel like some night I feel like going for a buffet, you know?
Right.
It's just they just like to be indifferent, you know? Everybody wants to have identity. So by the end, I got screwed.
But this is a country where you can have that kind of diversity.
Well, you know, that's a great thing about it, you know, diversity of eating. It's not like you're living just in Asia. You know, some part of China, you just can only have Chinese food, or in Italy, you can only have Italian food. Not only, it's just a variety. It's not so accessible. You know, when Canadian goes out, when they want to go out to dinner, it's the first thing, like, what do you feel like eating? Japanese food, Chinese food, Indian food, Italian food, French food. So, you know, variety is very important. Pomelo is, you know...
It looks like a giant grapefruit, but it doesn't taste exactly like a grapefruit.
No, but they also call it Asian-style grapefruit. And when I was a kid, I remember one chef, my father took me to this restaurant. They made a pomelo skin braised because it has such a nice bunch. The technique of that is trying to get rid of the flavor of the pomelo. But they also, the texture, right? Eating is about texture in most Chinese cooking. Now I see this. This is one of the best vegetables. I was in Shanghai, this area. This is a very typical Shanghainese vegetable. It says specially made in China.
It looks like a leek.
Well, it is not a leek. It's part of what they call like a sun. It's like a bamboo, like a shoots. That's what it is, a shoots. Like bamboo shoots, asparagus shoots, and all that kind of stuff. You see, even lily bulb, you know, all the way, you know. You know, right now, you know, these days, you know, the Chinese from China, they're packaging very nicely. Very appealing internationally. That's why the market is open up. Even peeled ginkgo nuts. You know, I love the Japanese style when they skewer, they put salt and just put in the hot charcoal. One of my favorite simple dish.
But a lot of the things that we're seeing here fresh, you probably only was able to get them dried years ago.
Oh, yes, because, you know, immigration from different countries, especially from some Asia, Southeast Asia, you know, people are, you know, coming to Canada. You know, they find a better life and better education for their children. And they have market, they have demand. They want their own food, even salty fish. You know, when you look at that, it's like already been dead 20 times. Look at that. And my mom used to make that for me. It's one of my favorite things to eat. You have to be have very quiet taste for that.
An acquired taste, yes. Yes, I'm still trying to acquire a taste for chicken feet, and I haven't quite got there.
Yeah. Hey, that's an Asian snack. When I used to go to movies, that's what my sister would just say, get some chicken feet. And then, you know, by the time you finish spitting it out on the floor, and then the rats would just come through it and start eating the bones. Disgusting. But, you know, that's the way,
Now, you talked about maturing as a chef. How do you do that?
I think, when you're doing something for so many years that you love, and I think time would just make you have a little bit more, you know, simple and subtle, but very sophisticated in a way, making things have a little more sense instead of just being experiment. In the early stage, it's important to be experiment, but now you have the result of experiment from before, and you are tuning it, really refining it. So tuning up, refining it takes time. So that comes maturity.
Do you think about, you have a pretty high profile in Toronto especially. Do you think about reputation when you're trying something new?
Oh, of course. Without thinking something new, it's like, you know, a musician. You have to perform all the time. And sometimes you do a lot of old stuff, what you did before, and then sometimes you have to do some new stuff. You just have, if you're loving something or loving one thing, you just have to keep on going. And that's your life.
So have you been able to achieve what you wanted to do by opening Lee next to Susser?
I still have one more dream. You know, I keep thinking and thinking about it. And, you know, the cookbook is done, you know. Third restaurant opened in my life. Now, I wanted to, thinking about this project, but I cannot tell you because it's roaming around with ideas, and I think I have to be a bit more solid, concrete to say it to anybody. But it's there. It's really there.
We're in front of some mangosteen now.
One of the best fruit in the world, I think, mangosteen. Especially somebody open to feed you. Because sometimes it could be a pain to open it up. I love it when they open the whole bowl and put it in a bowl with some ice. Or maybe a little bit of, creme fraiche. Ah, yes. That would be perfect. You know, so you see these little stars? It's symbolic how many, it means how many pieces inside of a section. So sometimes when you see there are more, there are less, you can actually count them. You see,
So are they kind of like white segments inside?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it's a very sensuous taste about it. Textures and acidity is so balanced, you know. So beautiful, look at that.
What are they?
Is it like roast tea? The sugar, the package, everything is there. No, if you actually open it up, they are actually quite beautiful. You know, this one is weight loss tea. All kinds of stuff. Now this one.
I need a tea to get rid of a head cold.
This one is clean your intestine out. Maybe something you might want something like this. Might have to sit in the toilet.
There are chefs in Asia that cook, especially with herbs, that they kind of diagnose what ails you and cook an herb-like meal for you.
A friend of mine in Singapore have a restaurant. They actually, it's a Chinese restaurant, a Chinese herbal restaurant. So before you go in, there's a Chinese doctor. And then we'll take your pulse and see how, check your tongues, because your tongue says, it means, how is your diet, and check your temperature. And by the end, they will say, okay, you should order this dish and you can order that dish. I often make fun for him. I say, are you checking his wallet first? So, you know, if you look at this, this is very like everything about Chinese who love food. From Western pastry to Chinese steamed bun and steam, bamboo leaf wrapped in rice, sweet rice. And then you look at there's the chicken pig intestine. And there's barbecue pork. Next thing you know, you have dry sausages, raw pork product, pig ears, oxtail, tripe. So you can tell, eating, this is very much of a Chinese culture in a way, a variety of things. They like to have, they can shop all at once, can buy everything all in one shot.
And to me, I've always been attracted by the chickens and ducks and pork hanging in the window there.
Right. Yeah. Because I love, this is the thing when I grew up. You know, the char siu, the barbecue pork remind me of when I was a kid. When I come home, because my mom is such a lousy cook, and she often just buy barbecue pork just to please me. And I recognize some of the rice that she made. was folding to the old rice from last night. And I said, I'm not eating that. Oh, this is local gurupa. And yidiyai bunde. It's local shrimps. Love those guys. Look at the crabs, huge.
They're trying to get out.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about moving to Vancouver from Toronto?
I did live here for a long time ago, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And during that time, it was very different. My life was different. Never get a chance to really appreciate Vancouver. But, you know, the food scene is so strong here, you know. They have special farmers, and they have people growing very specific things, you know, which is so great for chefs.
Do you try to challenge people with your menus?
Well, I don't think like to challenge them. I think I just do the things I love to do and do things it makes sense. And, you know, it's obviously you let them decide. But, of course, food got to taste good. I'm not going out there to say I want to educate you, I want to challenge you. You know, I just do the things with my knowledge. And with culture. So I think it's important to me to do things I love. And, you know, of course, invention is important. But he does takes one to know one. And people have to come in with an open mind. If you are a meathead, a potato and meat and nothing else, that would be a challenge, yes.
So you said you got something else on the go, but are there challenges that you haven't met yet that you've been thinking about, or things that you would like to do but you can't?
You know, my stage of life in a way is many things that is done has been satisfying me, and I said earlier I have one more project I want to do, but now for me doing things is inspiration for my children. It is something that inspires them, motivation, what it takes, what it means by hard working, what it means by, you know, not just to work, but think how it works. So those kind of things are important, and those are my achievement that I want to achieve. I think that would be quite hard, but, you know, because they are not me, and I just want to introduce.
Would you like to see them go into the restaurant business?
You know, I never stop them or introduce them to my businesses. In my business, I always know anything, not just a restaurant, like, you know, being like in sports, like in music, being a chef. It's all about passion. Without that, you know, that trigger of loving something, you know, no matter how much you drill to them, they're not going to like it. So that's how I see things. They have to find their own path of loving something.
Thank you for taking a stroll in Chinatown with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Suser Lee on the streets of Vancouver's Chinatown. He's an intriguing person, quick with a joke, easily distracted, and yet you get the impression there's always something going on beneath the surface. Once again, the name of his cookbook, If You Dare, is Suser, A Culinary Life, published by 10 Speed Press. You're listening to All You Can Eat. I'm Don Genova. In just a couple of weeks, it will be Valentine's Day, a time for romance, we're told. But what if you don't have anyone in your life right now? How do you meet someone? How do you woo them? Well, have a listen to this piece I did for a CBC radio show quite a few years back. My theory is that you can find romance in the supermarket. And before you start writing the insulting emails, I know the acting is pretty lame, but I think you'll get the idea. First piece of advice, avoid the frozen food section. It's really cold there, and your eyes may stray where they shouldn't. After all, eye-to-eye contact is what you want.
What are you gawking at, you big creep? Get away from me!
You have to go at it with a little more panache. If you really don't know anything about food or cooking, playing dumb about unusual ingredients always helps.
You know, I always see this bok choy stuff here, but I never know what to do with it.
Oh, it's great. You just really quickly sauté it up in your wok with a little bit of sesame oil and chuck a little soy sauce on there. It's really great.
Like, do you have any recipes for that?
Yeah, I might have some, actually. Yeah.
Can I give you my email address and you can send them to me?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great. Yeah, no problem.
Now, this might get you somewhere with the nurturing type who's looking for someone to cluck over, but during my single years, I discovered girls really go for guys who know their way in the kitchen. Here's how I would approach that cute neighbor you keep bumping into but have never worked up the courage to ask out.
Oh, I just love these green beans. They look so fresh.
Yeah, they look really good. I'm not totally sure how to cook them, though.
I just steam them, and then I put on a vinaigrette with the Dijon mustard and balsamic vinegar. Just mix it up with a little bit of salt and pepper, a little bit of tarragon if you've got it. It's fantastic.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. I just mostly throw them in a stir fry or something. I guess I never really thought that you could cook them like that.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of things you can do. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm having a few people over tomorrow night. A barbecue. It's kind of like a no-holds-barred barbecue. If you'd like to come along, it'd be great.
Oh, wow. Are you going to be cooking?
You got it.
That sounds great.
I know, it sounds corny, but you guys should meet my friend Rebecca. She's oh so single and would love to meet a guy who can cook.
It's actually pretty important for me to date a guy who knows how to cook. I love food, and I love to cook myself. And I don't know, it's sexy. Food is love, baby. You know, it's great. I would love to be with a guy who can cook. I've actually had relationships break up partly, not entirely, but partly because he wasn't that great in the kitchen.
Don't worry, guys. She's not that fussy.
I wouldn't be turned on if he made me something like Kraft dinner. But it doesn't have to be something really fancy. It just has to be something that they've put some thought into. Food and cooking is very sensual, and I think you can go long ways towards impressing a girl and seducing her by cooking up something really nice.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
If you think you're hopeless in the kitchen, just listen to my friend Joe Briefa.
A nice glass of Kir Royal is a champagne with a drop of crème de cassis, and after I will do a nice antipasto with some salame, prosciutto, olive, some pepper, some eggplants, a nice bottle of red wine.
Joe's the chef at Osteria Napoli Ristorante in East Vancouver. He knows the way to a lady's heart. You can buy all that yummy antipasto at a deli, then make a delicious veal dish in seconds.
It takes only a few minutes to do it.
Because the veal is very thin.
Yeah, it must be very thin, the veal.
So salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper, some olive oil, very hot pan. And that's it.
A little bit of lemon juice and parsley on the veal, and you're impressing with no muss and no fuss. So get a good cookbook, develop a couple of dishes you can count on, and get into that supermarket with the knowledge that food equals love. This could be you.
They make that a dish called, listen, lasagna.
Lasagna.
Lasagna. Lasagna bolognese. You can't believe how good this is. Okay, this is that.
Hey?
Now, taste. Ooh, taste.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's good, huh? You like?
Oh, my God.
And that was just in the kitchen. Remember the old French proverb, without bread, without wine, love is nothing. In Vancouver, I'm Don Genova. Ah, that's amore. This year on Valentine's Day, my wife is making dinner. I think it's going to be a heart-shaped lasagna, part of her New Year's resolution to make a different lasagna every month. I love the last one, so I'm looking forward to this one. If you'd like to contact me or find more about the lasagna project, just go to my website at pacificpalette.com. In the meantime, gong hei fat choy, happy new year in the year of the dog. I'm a dog, so I expect great things in 2006. That's it for this edition of All You Can Eat. I'm Don Genova. Bye for now.